You can come back to that conversation straight after church. If you're a new person here today, my name's Tony and I'm the lead pastor here at Impact Church, and it's our privilege to host you today. Really pray you'd enjoy your time and just relax, be yourself. We'll look after you and make sure you have a good time today. If you are a new person, if you would join us in the Connect Lounge straight after the service, we'll have some coffee together, some nice food, and make some new friends, which would be absolutely wonderful. I want to congratulate Damon and Zoe on their recent marriage. Why don't you give Damon and Zoe a big hand? They snuck in this morning thinking I didn't notice them. Congratulations, guys. Nice to have you back after your honeymoon, just absolutely beaming, which is very exciting. I'm going to ask Lindell if she would come to stage. Lindell's got a few thoughts that she feels God's got to share with us today. We didn't find a moment prior to this to do it, so we're going to do it right now. Good on you, Lindell.
I don't know whether this is nerves or anointing. Okay, up in the prayer room, there's five of us up there in the prayer room, and I prayed for a refreshing for us, and when we finished, and we prayed many other things, by the way, we prayed lots of blessings and everything all over everybody. Okay. The Lord said, he showed me a picture. I get pictures which are prophetic. And it's funny how we might just do things ordinarily every day and it's not much to us. But on Sunday, on Sunday mornings, Neil usually hoses off his V8. It's his pride and joy. And So anyway, the Lord confirmed this word with the songs that we sang this morning, because the first one was, "You are a never-ending river washing over me." Never-ending. What's that hose when you switch it on? It's just never-ending. And that's what God wants to do with us. A lot of us feel like we've been sitting on the shelf. Well, that's all right. We belong to God. But he's dusting us off. Then he's hosing us off. And he's going to shine us up. What happens when he turns the key? We come alive. And he puts that energy in us, which is taking our car down to the station, petrol station, and filling us up. That's here. He didn't just choose a little V4 for us for this picture. We're V8s. Why is that? Because it's the Holy Spirit, it's God. And I believe it's not the first day that the Holy Spirit's been putting on my heart for revival. I believe that he's going to start brushing us off and using us. We're not just on the shelf to just be there. We're not just being shined up to look pretty. He wants to use us. And a lot of us have been wanting that. We've seen things that God's done. We've had prophecies and we've seen things, but they haven't been for a long time. Or we've been seeing them, but only little. Just here and there. We've been hearing it from Tony and just here and there. But I believe that Holy Spirit wants to revive us and use us again. Okay, that's it.
Thank you, Lindell. Thank you. Thank you. Fresher. Turn to your neighbour and say, "You look fresher. You look fresher." It's nice. Nice to be fresh, isn't it? Nice to be restored. Nice to be revived. It's always nice to be revived. It literally means to be awakened. Everyone have a good yawn for me? Get your yawn out right now. Everyone have a good yawn? Thank you. There'll be no more yawns until I finish speaking now. That's your yawn quota. Done and dusted. We're talking about scripting and steering. Can I tell you, it's not easy when you come to stage and I put a microphone in your hand and you've got to speak. It's never easy. It's always a challenge when people need to come to stage and feel like they want to share a word God's spoken to them. So good on you, Lindell. And it's not easy at all to do that. Steering, scripting and steering is what we've been speaking about over the last few weeks. And if there's one thing I'm convinced about when it comes to our words and the script that we live by in our mind and in our hearts, it's this, is that our lives, for all of us, for every single one of us, without excuse, our lives move in the direction of our words. Our lives move in the direction of our words. And words are very, very important. The Bible has a lot to say about words. Jesus had a lot to say about words. Jesus' brother James has a lot to say about words in his book. The Bible is called the Word of God. One of the titles of Jesus is the Word. And so the concept of words is really, really important. Words can bring great blessing if we use them appropriately. Words can bring us great heartache if we use them inappropriately. If you speak to your friend, a family member, partner, your wife, your husband, your leader, your pastor, somebody in authority or relationship in the wrong way, words can create either a good environment or something ugly very, very quickly. Who's got experience with ugly environments because of words they've used? Would you lift up your hand right across the room? Everybody in the room, lift up your hand, please, because we've all experienced that. Every single one of us have experienced that. So words are really important. Let me read from James chapter 3. This is the brother of Jesus speaking, James chapter 3, about words. He says this in verses 3 to 6. He says, a bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. That tiny little bit that's placed in its mouth, it controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets the course of the ship in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of little account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of the mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world. We can turn harmony into chaos. We can throw mud on a reputation, and we can send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. I love the way James says, a word out of your mouth can seem of no account. It can seem of little value, inconsequential. But that little word that comes out of our mouth can do a whole lot of damage, or it can accomplish almost anything. When it comes to our words, let's not put limits on the power of our words. Our words are very creative. Our words are very constructive. Our words are also very destructive. They can destroy almost anything in our world and in our lives. And so words are extremely powerful. The Bible literally says this. It says the power of life and death are in the power of the tongue. The power of life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so James is a writer. He's saying this. You put a tiny little bit in the mouth of a horse, you can control it. You put a rudder on the back of a ship, a huge ship, it enables a skilled captain to take that ship anywhere, even in the fiercest of storms. He can steer it and he can control it. And so literally he's likening the power of our tongue to that bit in the horse's mouth or the rudder on a huge ship. And this little member called the tongue can bring so much blessing or can do so much damage. You know, when we talk, some people are what I call emotive talkers. They are emotive talkers. Like we talk about emojis nowadays and they're everywhere. And little pictures of faces expressing emotion. Some people in how they talk are very emotive and they express their emotions without filter, as we spoke about a few weeks ago, where they express their worry, they express their doubts, they express their fear continuously. And what happens when you speak like that is you allow your worry, you allow your fear, you allow your anxiety, and you allow your doubts to gather a sense of momentum. And our words lead us to a greater sense of insecurity, a greater sense of fear, a greater sense of confusion. And what we do when we speak negatively and emotively, what we do is we reinforce our worry, we reinforce our doubt, we reinforce our fear, we reinforce our disconnection, we reinforce our insecurities, and we reinforce our confusion. What I think we need to do, what I know we need to do, what I feel we ought to do when we're speaking emotively is to flip it and to learn to talk our way towards the peace of God. Do you know you can talk your way to the peace of God? You can talk your way into the comfort of God. You can talk your way into the goodness of God. And you can talk your way into the favor of God, where we flip our conversation from accentuating the frustration and anxiety, and we can start to talk our way to peace. Philippians talks about it in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 9, where it says this. Let me read it to you in the Message Bible, simply because I like the way it words it. It says this: don't fret or worry. Don't fret or worry. I don't have these words on the big screen for you, by the way. I sort of cheated these in early this morning. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. What is prayer? Prayer is simply talking to God. It's using your words to communicate to heaven. It says, so don't fret. Don't worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises — what is praise? It's a verbal expression of your hope and trust in God. So he says, let your praise shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle down on you. How many people in the room want a sense of God's wholeness? When they're coming and just settling down on you. You know, when you're full of worry and fear and anxiety and insecurity, it creates an atmosphere around you. It's like a cloud. People see it. People feel it. They sense it. They're aware of it. It's the same with peace. When you see a peaceful person, a peaceful soul, someone that's living in the wholeness of God, it's obvious. It's around the atmosphere of their lives. Here the writer says, it's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. It's wonderful. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, things that are noble, things that are reputable, things that are authentic and compelling and gracious. Think of the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me, what you've heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. I love that. That God wants to work us into his most excellent harmonies. I pray God will do that for you today as we close out this series today on scripting and steering. So here's the big question for this morning. What are your words driving you towards? What are your words that you use, that you express, that you converse with to your friends, your family, people in your world? What are your words, even the words you speak to yourself? What are your words driving you towards? Are they words that develop real sense of feeling and emotions, like negative feelings, feelings of hopelessness, feelings of helplessness, feelings of disconnection, feelings of discontentment? Or are they the right words that will drive you into a sense of peace with God, a sense of having that harmony that God wants to bring, that wholeness that God wants to settle down on every one of us? Do your words carry you into God's strength? Do they make you feel like you're strong? And do other people feel stronger around you when they talk to you, when they talk to you, when they have conversation with you? Or are they rattled? Are they disturbed? Are they displaced? You see, right words can lift us, they can encourage us, they can inspire us, they can move us, and they can build us. The book of Joel — Joel's a prophet in the Old Testament — the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 10, Joel says these words, makes this statement. He says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak — notice who he's calling to say this. He says, let the weak say, I am strong. You know, the last thing you feel like saying when you're weak is, I'm strong. But there's a truth and a reality here, that in our weakness, Our declaration needs to be what we want to be and what we need to be, not what we are, but what we want to be and what we need to be. And here the prophet literally says, call it towards you. Let the weak say, let the declaration of the weak say, I'm strong, which is good news for you and I today, because maybe you're weak this morning. Maybe you feel that sense of weakness today. Maybe you feel failure today, in a sense of being a failure today. Maybe you feel powerless and helpless and even hopeless today. Maybe you feel can't deal. Have you ever felt can't deal? Got out of bed on a day and think, can't deal. Can't even. Can't cope. Can't go on. I feel done. That may be how you feel, weak, vulnerable, exposed, powerless. That may be the script that you're currently living by, like your script that you live by might be telling you, I'm not a good parent. So that's what you speak to everyone. I'm not a good parent. I'm not a good mum. I'm not a good dad. Or put it into a personality thing. I'm not a people person, which I used to say all the time. And I had to have a good talk to myself. Have you ever given yourself a good talking to? Like some of us need to, seriously. You need to give yourself a good talking to. Give yourself a really good talking to. Look yourself in the mirror and say, stop saying that about yourself. Because you're speaking and preaching a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'd go around and say, I'm not good with people. So everyone thought I was not good with them. When I was actually brilliant. I'm brilliant with people. I'm a brilliant people person. I'm great with people. I love people. I love people. I love people. Just keep saying it. Because I'd walk around and I'd say, I'm not good with people. I'd say things like, I'm a task-orientated person. And so give me a task, I'll get it done. Give me people, I'll be frustrated. And I've had to change my verbiage. So hopefully you won't hear that coming out of my mouth anymore, because it was becoming like a self-fulfilling prophecy where people wouldn't come and see me. Why? Because they knew I wasn't good with them. They just avoided me. It's like they stayed away from me. I mean, I had plenty of time, but I had no friends. And so I've got to stop the way that I'm talking. And, you know, we've all got stuff like that, where we repel and we repulse the things we want to actually attract into our lives, but we repel it and we repulse it by the way we talk. And literally, we've got to give ourselves a good talking to. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. So speak to where you want to be. Speak to what you want to be, rather than what your reality is. We know we have a reality. We know we have a certain truth that we live in. You may not be the world's best mum, but who is? You may not be the world's best dad, but who is? But keep trying and keep speaking to be a better parent, a better friend, a better employee, a better business owner, a better manager, whatever it might be. And make sure your self-fulfilling prophecy is a future and a script that you actually want to live. You see, the day you decide that you're strong rather than you're weak is the day everything changes. That's the day everything changes. I mean, what do you mean, Pastor? Do you mean like magically it all changes the moment I say that? No, I don't mean that at all. But what I mean is the moment you start to declare it over your life and over your world, and it becomes your prayer and it becomes your script, what happens is at that moment, on that day, God begins to use the power of your words to steer your story and to steer your future and to walk you towards that great harvest. How's it happen? It happens because you align yourself with God. It happens because you align yourself with the truth of God's word over who He says you can be and over who He says you are. That's why Joel says, let the weak say, I am strong. So what do you say? I'm weak. I'm weak. Notice it doesn't say, let the weak say they're weak. It doesn't say, let the weak tell everyone they're weak. And that's kind of what we want to do. We have this amazing thing called Facebook or social media today. And so many people get on there and tell people what their reality is. And in their weakness, they're proclaiming their weakness and their circumstance and their situation. And it's just not a healthy thing to do. It's not a healthy thing to do. Paul tells us in Philippians to turn it into prayer and to turn it into praise, the circumstance and the situation that we have, and talk our way and walk our way and praise our way and pray our way towards what we want to be. Let the weak say, I am strong. It doesn't say, let the weak just admit that they're weak. It doesn't say that. See, that's the plan of the devil. The plan of the devil is to destroy.
That's his plan. His plan is to destroy us. His plan is to destroy our lives. His plan is to take so much away from us. His agenda is to seek and destroy. When our script is in the negative, when our script is in that negative reality, what happens is we agree and align with the plan of Satan. But then God's got a plan. His plan is not to destroy. His plan is to develop. Develop us. Build us. Give us the best life possible. And when our script is in the power of the positive and agreement and alignment with God, we are coming into association and agreement with Him. And He blesses that. I want to give my words towards God's plan, not Satan's plan. I want to give my words towards God's plan, not Satan's plan. I might have my weakness, but I'm proclaiming God's strength in me. I might have my weakness, but I'm proclaiming God's strength in me. Even our salvation. We receive our salvation, the Bible says, because of the work of Christ, but also in agreement with our declaration. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says it. It says, if you declare with your mouth, this is how you develop a relationship with God, beginning it. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart, if it becomes a script of your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and we are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So even our relationship with God begins as we walk into an agreement, an alignment because of our declaration, our confession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. I want to give you three things today that we should do with our words. Three things we should all do with our words. Number one, let's use our words to self-identify. Self-identify. We need to self-identify because if we don't self-identify, someone else will identify us. Someone else will try and identify us. Someone else will try and tell us who we are. Someone else will try and put a label on us, a descriptor on us about who we are, what we can do in life and our future story. Self-identification is so important for a believer that we identify with the fact of who God tells us and calls us to be. That we identify with the labels that God gives to us. That we walk in that liberty and in that freedom. We talk a lot today about identity theft. It happens everywhere. It's always happening. It could be happening to you right now where someone's trying to steal your identity and they represent themselves as you. And it's a very dangerous thing in our technical world today. It's something the enemy continually tries to do with every one of us, to steal our God-given identity, where he wants us to believe the worst of us, not the best of us. To believe the worst of us, not the best of us. You know, the fact of the matter is our identity is not based on the best of us. It's based on the best of God, on the best of Jesus. It's not based on the best of us, but it's based on the best of Him. We looked at this next slide when we did a series recently on Daniel called The Daniel Dilemma. I want to throw it up again. It's all about identity. At a time when four young Hebrew boys were taken into slavery along with the Hebrew nation into Babylon. And the Bible says in Daniel 1:7 that the chief of staff, he renamed them with Babylonian names. It was representative of the relabeling and the re-identification process they were going to be put through as they became slaves in Egypt to their enemies. It says this, it says Daniel's name was changed to Belshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach, Mishael was called Meshach, and Azariah was called Abednego. How many people in the room went to Sunday school? Come on, children's church, Sunday school, something like that. If you went to Sunday school, isn't it interesting that three out of four of these people, we know them by their Babylonian name, not their Hebrew name, not their real name. We know Daniel by his real name, but for the other three, we know them by their Babylonian identity, where they were relabeled, they were re-identified. I mean, if I mentioned the name Azariah, most people in the room wouldn't have a clue who he was. Most people wouldn't know who Mishael was or Hananiah was. But we know Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego because that's what we were even taught in our Sunday schools, the Babylonian identity that they were given. The identification of their enemy, the identification of the world system. Whereas their real godly name was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel, his name means, God is my judge. He was given a new name called Belshazzar, which means lady, protect the king. In other words, they gave Daniel a girl's name. A girl's name. In Australia, we would call him Shazza. A girl's name, changing his label, his identification. The plan was to mess with his identity and his relationship. Then we have Hananiah. His name meant Yahweh has been gracious, changed to Shadrach, meaning I am fearful of God. Changing the nature and the understanding of the nature of God that Hananiah had. His understanding, according to his Hebrew name, was God is gracious to me. Whereas his new Babylonian name, Shadrach, means I am fearful of God. You know, it's one thing to walk in the graciousness of somebody, another thing to be fearful of someone. And they were changing his sense of understanding of the nature of God. Then we have Michelle. His name means who is what God is, and so like God, where we get the derivative of the name Michael today, changed to Meshach, meaning despised, contemptible, and humiliated, with the plan here being the sense of messing with their awareness of wholeness and their sense of wholeness. And then as Azariah, his name means Yahweh has helped. They changed it to Abednego, which meant servant of Nebo, who was a Babylonian god. The plan was to redefine their god and to redefine their future. This is what our enemy does. He always tries and endeavors and plans and schemes to redefine us and put labels over our lives and over our identity so that we don't see ourselves as how God sees us. So we fail to see ourselves as God says we could be and we should be. So he puts words, he puts labels that get stuck on certain circumstances over our lives. Labeling to stick us. Labeling to define us. Labeling to destroy us. But here's the good news. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. And his plan is also to define us a certain way. But here's the deal. Our words cast the final vote. Our words cast the final vote. Our words have the final say as to whose plan we're going to live for. If you doubt that, look at what Jesus said in Matthew. He says this in Matthew 12:35. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings forth evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Verse 36, but I tell you, anyone or everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Our words carry the final vote. We're acquitted by our words, or we're condemned by our words. Don't worry about the future though, worry about the now. Because there's a sense where we can be acquitted right now or condemned by our words. Our words align us with either the devil's plan or God's plan. What script are we going to live by? What script are we going to have in the meditations of our heart? You see, our words can set us free from the labels and names and identity the enemy wants to put on us. Or our words can condemn us by the way we live, where we embrace and we establish the reality of our words. I've heard people say to me, I'll speak better of life when life gets better. I'll speak better of life when life gets better. Can I suggest to you it doesn't work that way? Can I suggest to you that life will get a whole lot better when you start speaking of life better? Can I suggest to you that's the way I think it works? You see, if you only speak what you feel, you'll live in that feeling for a lot longer than you're supposed to live in that feeling. Feelings are right, feelings are proper. I had one once. They're like emotions. They're good, they're great. Emotions are wonderful. We are designed to feel things. But don't live by the feelings. You have them in the moment. You have them for a night. You might have them for a week. But don't live with them year in, year out. Because they will attach themselves to you and they will direct your life to a place you don't want to go, and nothing good will happen there. So what labels have you been attached to your life? What labels in a negative way have come into your world? That you live with, that you don't want to live with anymore. What words do you speak of yourself? Would they be words like liar, unlovable, failure, worthless, I mean, just picture yourself standing with that word in front of you. Worthless? Is that what I feel? Victim? Unwanted? Restless? If you're in that negative zone, can I suggest to you what you need to do? What we need to do is flip it. Everyone say flip it. Flip it. Flip it. Just flip it. Flip the script and make the word trustworthy. Make the word purposeful, confident, valuable, victorious, accepted, peaceful. You know, the positive words even make your emotions feel better. They take the agitation out because there is power in words to bring wholeness and bring healing. So we need to flip the script. The second thing we need to do in terms of the way we use our words is use your words to encourage and cultivate. Use your words to encourage and cultivate. To encourage and cultivate a better future for yourself, but also for others. By cultivate, I mean this: to build for a life you want to live, to build for a future story you actually want to have. You're like a farmer who cultivates a field for a future harvest. Our words are seeds and they bring life, and we need to make sure we invest them wisely and we sow them wisely. Some people really struggle with this. Some people really struggle because they think that to speak of a future reality as if it's now is really false. It's a false reality. It's living in denial. Like to have the weak say they're strong. I mean, let's just have the weak say what it is. It's weak. You're weak. It's weak. So call yourself weak rather than calling yourself strong when you're weak. And some people really struggle, and they say you're living in denial when you talk like that, Tony. And it becomes a barrier for them. Many people struggle and fight with this thought. They say, I'm just being real. I'm just telling the truth. I'm just telling it like it is. And what happens is that becomes a mindset. That barrier becomes a mindset that allows that negative reality to go unchallenged. Every negative reality needs to be challenged. It needs to be challenged in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our script, and in our words. And we need to challenge it because we don't want to use our words. People stay stuck because they don't want to use their words to describe something they don't feel. You don't have to deny reality to speak confidently. You don't have to deny reality to speak confidently. You're simply using your words to cultivate the future you want to have. You're simply using your words to cultivate the future you want to have. You're talking about cultivating for something that may not be as good as it should be right now, but you want it to become better. So you're speaking about cultivating for the future. You see, when we cultivate with our words, we're pointing our life towards a desired reality. Towards a desired reality. You know, the truth is for me, there's a lot of challenge in what I do as a job. There's a lot of people challenge. There's a lot of preparation challenge. And the pressure never stops. It doesn't matter what day it is. It happens day. It happens night. And what I've discovered is this, is that my worst seasons with the right scripting are actually easier than my best seasons with the wrong scripting. I need to have the right scripting. The right scripting can help me when it's hard. The right scripting can help me when it's challenging. The right scripting can help me when I have people pressures, when I have preparation pressures, when I have all kind of pressure around my world. The right scripting can bring me through that storm. Like James says, that small rudder can steer through the fiercest of winds and get you to safety. That's what the right scripting can do for every one of us. It can steer us. Whereas the wrong scripting, even in the best seasons, is going to make it really, really difficult. There's power in scripting and there's power in words. But it's not just about the pressure of life. It's about what goes on around us and inside of us. And we need to learn to leverage the power of our words and speak better and cultivate the life we want by the words that we use. Lastly, we need to use our words to increase our faith in God. Use our words to increase our faith in God. That's what praise is. It's a declaration of our hope and our trust and our belief in God. And when we praise, it's like a seed that we send to heaven. It's like a seed that we send to our circumstances. It's like a seed of the hope of God and our faith in God and our trust in God. Jesus, when he was on earth, he would look at people and he would say to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. How do you have faith in God? It's a very simple process, actually. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, there's nothing that will build your words up, and your heart up, and your faith up, and your mind up. There's nothing that will flip the script better in our world
better than the Word of God. Depositing and getting and learning and meditating and growing in the Word of God. It lifts our faith when we marinate ourselves in the Word of God. But here's the thing with the Word of God. No one can grow you like you can grow you. No one can grow you like you can grow you. Like, I can't grow you as good as you can grow you. You can sit under the best preaching, the best teaching, the best preacher in the world. They will not grow you like you grow you. Because while I'm talking, you're talking. Who's got a conversation going on in their head right now? There's a few conversations happening in this room. So we're talking to ourselves all the time. We're preaching to ourselves all the time. And we've got to take responsibility for our own spiritual fitness. We've got to take responsibility for the planting of God's Word in our own hearts and our own conversation and our own talk. You can't have a 24/7 dialer pastor. Maybe we could create an app for that. For a phone. Maybe we could create that. An app, and your pastor's face comes up and speaks the Word of God to you just when you need it. Pastor, I'm worried. Pastor appears on the screen. Philippians 4, 9 and 10. And he reads it to you very confidently. Makes you feel better. You know, it's not like going to the doctor and getting two Dispirin or two Aspros or two Panadol and go home and you'll be okay. You've got to take care of yourself. That's what the doctor says. The medication is not going to fix you. Right living is going to fix you. De-stressing, right eating and exercise, all those things I love. They're going to fix and help to get you to a healthier place. And this is just like a shot in the arm. What you do on a daily basis for yourself, in terms of putting that Word of God in your heart and in your mind to give you something to draw on, is what's going to give you the confidence as you speak and declare faith in God. And words, when you use them like that, they will build you, they will grow your faith. Psalm 91:2 says this, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, He is my God, He is the one in whom I trust. I hear a lot of people say the opposite of that. I hear a lot of people say, well, you know what? God really wasn't there for me. He just wasn't there. He wasn't there for me. He didn't turn up. He's not been there. What's the Bible say? Let the weak say, I am strong. Can I ask you what you will say? What will you say? Joel says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Here the psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. He is the one in whom I will trust. So what will you say? What do you say? What will you say? Can I encourage you to be a sayer? To be a sayer. To be someone that declares what your belief is. To be someone who puts it out there and builds your own heart of belief and confidence in God in and through what you say. Don't be silent. You can't be silent on it. You can't be silent and secretive about what your declaration is going to be. Have something to say. Let the weak say, I'm strong. I'm strong. Words are important. Words are powerful. Words are creative. The Word of God is powerful and creative. The Word, Jesus Christ, is powerful and creative. When I live in relationship with Him and I have His Word in my heart and I declare the power and the authority of His Word, I start to feel a whole lot better about my circumstance and my situation, because I realize it's not about the best of me, it's actually about the best of Him. And I may be weak, but He is strong. And greater is He is in me than he that is in the world. That's the truth of the Word. So that will be the declaration of my mouth. That's what I will say. I will say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. In other words, it's not a lot about me, but it's a whole lot about Him. We need something to anchor ourselves in. We need to have a declaration. We need to have a sound rather than a silence. I think there's too much silence in church, is what I think. I think it's too much silence. I wouldn't go to a silent church. It's not silent night. It's not what it is. It's called to be a place of declaration and a place of praise and a place of power is what it's called to be. It's a place where we've got something to say. Turn to your neighbor and say, what do you got to say? What do you got to say? What do you say about that? What is your declaration? My declaration is, I can. I feel a whole lot better saying I can than I can't. You really do. And if you tell yourself you can't, guaranteed you can't. You just prophesied it. But if, what about I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me? Now don't be silly with that, because there's some things you can't do, even if Christ does strengthen you. Like, don't go to 18,000 feet and jump out of a plane and think I can without a parachute. Because you probably can't. Although I did see on the news last night some girl jumped out of a plane with her professional guy in the back, or instructor, whatever he is. Yeah, no, let me tell the story. Yeah, I'm telling the story here. When you preach, you talk. I talk when I preach. He jumped out of the plane. See, told you words are powerful. A lot of power in those words right there. Gonna hurt me big time. You stop misbehaving, please. She jumped out of the plane. What I was trying to say was she had an instructor on her back and also a parachute. And the parachute didn't open. They dropped 18,000 feet and hit the ground and survived. Now, I'm not going to go jumping out of a plane at 18,000 feet just to see if in Christ Jesus I can do all things. It's not the intent of what Paul's saying here. He's saying we need to learn with a sense and live with a sense of empowerment that God will enable us to live the life He's called us to live and be the people He's called us to be. He'll strengthen us for that. He'll provide us for that. And that needs to be our declaration that I can do that. Psalm 91:4 goes on to say, it says, He will cover you with His feathers and He will shelter you with His wings, and His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. Can I have our team come to stage, please? His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. I read Psalm 91 every time I go to hospital. Every time I go to hospital and I visit someone. Every time someone's in distress. Every time someone's dying. I read this psalm to them. It's a challenging psalm because it speaks of the promise of God not allowing harm to come to people. And I speak it because I want it to be a declaration. Because the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. So when I'm with someone that's weak, I'm giving them a declaration of the strength and the goodness of God. Because I want them to understand God's got them covered. He'll cover them with His wings. He'll cover them with His feathers. He'll shelter them. And His faithful promises are their armor and their protection. And then Romans 8:28 is another great verse that I read to everybody. And it's this, where Paul says, and we know that God causes everything to work out together for good. For good. For those who love God and called are called according to His purpose. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? And we know. We know. Well, do we know? Do we really know that? Do you know that? Do I know that? I mean, Paul says we know. But what do I say? What do I say about we know? I want to say I know. I want to own that. Would you close your eyes? I want to say that I know that God causes everything to work for the good of those that are called according to His purpose. I know that, God. My circumstance right now, my feeling right now, my situation right now, it labels something else. It tells me I'm weak and I'm vulnerable. It tells me I can't deal. It tells me I can't go on. But when I look into your word says that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Your word says greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Your word says that we know that You cause everything to work for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. So I'm going to align myself with Your word today, God. And Your word is going to be my declaration. Your word is going to be my confession. I'm not going to state the obvious today.
I'm not going to highlight the problem. I'm not going to give the problem airspace, airtime. I'm not going to go to the phone. I'm not going to go to Facebook. I'm going to go to the faith book today. And the faith book that builds up my faith in you says I can. Not only does it say I can, it says I can because you do. Because you do. And so my prayer today is, Father, strengthen people today. Right across this room. Right across this room. May we use our words to align ourselves with the truth of your word. May your word build us, encourage us, inspire us, strengthen us, lift our faith today, enlarge our faith, enlarge our expression, enlarge our experience in life today. We're tired of being labeled by what we're told we can't do and can't be. We're tired of being labeled by what our circumstances preach to us. We're tired of being labeled by the situations of life and the things that have taken place in our world and in our lives, God. We want a new label today. We want to flip the script today. Flip the script today. We want our hearts to overflow with a noble theme. With a noble theme. A noble theme. And so we invite you, God, to do some good things in all of our hearts and our lives. We invite you to correct our conversation. We invite you to mend our words. We invite you to help us stop speaking down about ourselves. We invite you to help us control our insecurity and our fears and our worries and our concerns by leading us to focus on who you are and what you've done and what you're doing. And I refuse to be led by what I feel. I'll be led by what you've called us to be. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Faith is what we don't see. It's what you say. It's what you call us towards. So I pray today for some hearts in this room who have lived by a script that has been destructive. It's been destructive. It's destroyed relationships. It's destroyed lives. It's destroyed harmony and peace. And today my prayer is that Holy Spirit, you would come and you would bring wholeness. You would bring health in the words that we use. And that you, God, would bring your harmony and bring everything together for those that love you and are called according to your purpose. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. And when we speak to people, may people be edified. May people feel valued. May people feel peace because of the investment of our words. And may we walk and talk ourselves into a future story that is healthy and whole because of the declaration of our mouth. Now, Jesus, you are called the high priest of our confession. It's one of your titles. That means you represent my confession before the Father. You represent our declarations before the Father. That means that when I'm standing here weak and my declaration is I'm strong, that you go to the Father and you ask for help for that weak one to come to a posture of strength. And I see that happening in hearts and lives and homes right now. I see there being that heavenly exchange where you help and you pull up
those that are weak. So let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. This I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my strength. He is my strong tower. He is my hiding place. His faithful promises are my shield, and they are my armor. And no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that will rise up against me, God, you will speak to it. You will condemn it. The greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do that. That's what I will say. And when I declare that, God, it gives you the opportunity to start to move, to bring that promise to fulfillment, to bring that seed to a harvest. And so we lean our hearts towards heaven today. And we thank you for Jesus, our great high priest, of the confession of our heart and lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. While you're standing, I'm going to have the service team come and serve communion to you. We're going to sing that last worship song we sang. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, why don't you just take the cup and take the biscuit when it comes, hold it in your hand. We're going to partake together in a few moments' time. Let's take a moment to worship God as we hand out the emblems this morning.